of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
If you, O Lord, should count our sins, but with you there is forgiveness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence. Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you,
and in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
How lovely is your dwelling place,
O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord.
My heart and flesh sing your joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young.
At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house,
ever sing your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever.
those whose strength is in you.
In whose heart are the highways to Zion.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from the second book of Moses called Exodus, the 17th chapter. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 5th chapter. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The hour is coming and is now here. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from the Gospel reading. Jesus replied to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks of the water that I'll give him will never thirst forever. The water that I'll give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." This is our text. So today, it's the Samaritan woman at the well. I want you to think about this woman for a couple of minutes. When you picture her, when you think about what our text from John 4 says about her, what is the most significant thing about this woman who came to draw water from Jacob's well? You might think that the most significant thing is that she's a Samaritan. Now, John lets us know that we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus decided to pass through Samaria, going on his way back from Judea north to Galilee. He's the outsider here. He's on her turf. But her being a Samaritan is noteworthy. John reminds us that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. They're like close cousins who are deeply estranged. Samaritans were half Jewish by ethnicity, and they were also half Jewish in their religious beliefs. They had the Torah, the five books of Moses, but they'd added in a dash of pagan beliefs as well. They'd even set up their own temple. So, yes, this woman being a Samaritan would raise some eyebrows, especially when Jesus is talking with her. But I don't know that that's the most significant thing. Maybe it strikes you that the most significant thing about this woman is that she had no husband. The truth, of course, is a bit more complicated than that. As Jesus reminds her, "For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have isn't your husband." Which sounds to me like a pretty messy life. We don't know the whole story here. We're not given the whole background. We don't need to know all of the details, but I think we can kind of imagine. It's probably the same old story that we all know too well. Broken sinners living in a broken world with other broken sinners, leading to sin and shame. And that is significant as well. But I don't think it's the most significant thing. Maybe it strikes you that the most significant thing is that she comes to the well in the middle of the day. It says it was the sixth hour, you know, the hottest part of the day, when the noon heat is beating down. She's there when no one else will be there. Everyone else already came and went in the early morning hours in the cool of the day. She's there when she doesn't have to encounter another human being. She can live in her lonely little isolation, minding her own business and letting other people mind theirs. It's significant, but I don't think that's the most significant thing. What is the thing that draws her to the well? What is the thing that compels her to be there day after day after day? What captures both her being a Samaritan and also having no husband and being there at the noon hour? It's the woman's thirst. It's her thirst that drives her. It's her thirst that should jump out to us, grab our attention. Physical thirst, certainly. No one can live without water, not for long. You're probably inclined to reach for your water bottle right about now when I say that. She makes the trek there every day to fill up the jars for herself and for the man she now has who isn't her husband. Over and over and over again. But her thirst is deeper than that. The most significant thing about this woman is the thirst she doesn't even recognize when her conversation with Jesus begins. The thirst she has is for something more, something deeper. The thirst we could describe, this thirst we could describe in so many different ways. The thirst to be needed. The thirst to be wanted. The thirst to be loved and to be forgiven. The thirst to belong and to be part of a community. The thirst for life. The thirst for a faithful man. The thirst for true worship. And underlying all of it, the thirst for the Messiah. I don't even think she knows how deep her thirst goes. I think she could probably explain some of this if you put her in a room with a therapist, but not all of it. But this is what she brings to the well. That and her empty jars. She brings all of these thirsts there in the middle of the day, expecting, even hoping, to find no one there. She can simply fill her jars and turn around and trudge home. She wants water, and that's all. What she doesn't know that morning when she sets out from home is that there's someone waiting for her. There's someone there at the well who's come even before she did. While she's been taking care of her morning work, Jesus came to that same town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And that's when she came. Not expecting anything, and certainly not expecting to meet a man there, and certainly not expecting to meet a Jewish man, and certainly not expecting to meet a Jewish man from Nazareth who knew everything about her, who knew all of it, and still loved her. I wonder if she even noticed that he was there, just making her usual trek, and suddenly she hears the voice. Give me a drink. It startles her. It throws her off. Here's a man clearly exhausted from his travel. There's no denying his humanity. She probably thinks she's the one in the driver's seat here. She thinks that he has a need that she can fill, that she has something she can do for him, that she has something to offer him. And that's how the conversation takes off. How do you, a Jewish man, ask me for a drink? And Jesus turns the conversation around. I mean, she could have just given him a drink and he would have drunk the water and maybe that would have been it. But Jesus says, oh woman, if you only knew, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have been asking him and he would have given you living water. That woman's a bit confused. Where are you going to get water? Jesus doesn't have anything to draw the water out of the well with. Jewish man who seems to be boasting as if he can do something for her. But Jesus goes on. She says, are you greater? She says, are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? And Jesus says, you know that well you keep coming back to every single day? Everyone who drinks of that water will be thirsty again. I mean, it's good for a little while. It will quench your physical thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And that woman says, sir, give me this water. Give me this water that never ends, that keeps overflowing, that is so abundant, so that I don't have to be thirsty again, and I don't have to come here to draw water ever again. Jesus makes that promise. He says to her, essentially, don't think that you've got something to give me. If you but ask, I'll give you more than what you're looking for here. I'll give you living water. He turns the tables around. Rather than her being the giver and him being the receiver, he makes clear that he's the giver and she's the receiver. I want to go back to the reason that she's there. It's because she's thirsty. As I said, with a deeper thirst than she even realizes. And I want to ask the question, why are you here? Why are you here today? For what? What have you come to this well to an hour earlier than usual? What are you looking for in your own daily life, going back to again and again and again? And what other wells have you been haunting? What have you been seeking to quench your thirst? Are you looking for recognition? Are you looking for honor and respect? Are you looking for relief from the anxiety and stress that you feel? Are you looking to be needed, to be wanted, for a community, for love, for life, for forgiveness, for meaning, for true worship, for the Messiah? And as you've come today, do you, like that Samaritan woman, think that you've got something to give him? I mean, what do you have to offer him? I mean, the very, very best that you could give him from your life. And then consider instead what he has to offer you. But you might be like that woman wondering, well, where in the world can he get this living water from? What does he have to draw that water out of the well and give it to us? Jesus has nothing with which to draw the water except himself. His own body, his own sacrifice, his own eternal divine love. That's where it comes from. Keep in mind as well our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 17, because this woman wasn't the first one in the scriptures to thirst. We have the whole congregation of Israel out in the wilderness, having just left Egypt, God having rescued them from slavery, and they're less than 3 months into their journey, and they are grumbling. I mean, really grumbling, complaining, accusing Moses of having dragged them out there to kill them, and blaming God for their life going sideways. They're thirsty. And how does God quench their thirst that day? He tells Moses to take his staff in his hand, to go to the rock, to strike the rock with his staff, and water will come pouring out. The rock that is struck provides the water of life. I'm not talking about the rock in the wilderness for the people of Egypt. Thank God they had that for that time. But there is a greater rock who is Christ. And the living water that this woman needed and the living water that we need is the water that flows from him when he is struck. And they take that spear and they thrust it into his side and outpours the water and the blood for us. What does Jesus have with which to draw the water of life for you and me but his own body and blood and life and love? And that's what he did. About the sixth hour, in the heat of the day, when he cried out upon the cross, I thirst, and gave himself for the entire thirsty world. and for our thirst as well. You see, this is what Jesus did for that woman, and it's what he does for us. He trades his living water for all of our thirst. He trades his life for our dying and death. He trades his righteousness for our sin. And he takes it upon himself. And he cries out, "I thirst." And he dies as the thirsty one, because he came to take on the thirst of the world. And he came to give us that living water, to fill us with that water through his holy and precious word, through the waters of holy baptism, through this precious gift of holy communion. When he says that water will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life, he is promising the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, whom he has poured out on you richly and pours out on you richly again today. He would have you know that water. Drink of that water. Play in that water and enjoy what he gives. For here's the answer to our prayers and our requests. Psalm 42 says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And in Jesus Christ, that living God has come and says, "Here I am. Here I am for you. Here I am with my life and my forgiveness for you. Here I am for your broken and messy lives. Here I am for those times when you feel isolated and lonely and separated from the community. Here I am to be your God, your promised Messiah, the Savior of the world." And here, I think, is the most significant thing about this Samaritan woman: that she believed it. When Jesus said, "You've had five husbands and the man you're now with isn't your husband," she doesn't stomp off and say, "Who does he think he is?" She says, "You must be a prophet. You understand me better than I understand myself." And she believes what Jesus promises. She not only believes it, she leaves her water jars and she runs right back to that village of Sychar, and she doesn't care who in the village knows about her sin or her shame. She starts telling them about that guy at that well. I can almost picture her sort of babbling about it. "I was so thirsty and I didn't even know it, and I came to the well and this guy was there, and come and see." And they do. These Samaritans, to this Jewish man. In fact, they say, "Will you stay with us?" And he stays with them for 2 whole days, and many of them believe. You see, when she realized the gift of God that was sitting before her at the well, when she saw how he was quenching her thirst with his own person, she said, "I know some other thirsty people as well. Let me go tell them." She was excited to share the living water. That is the most significant thing about this Samaritan woman at the well: that she believed in Jesus, who came to quench her thirst and yours and mine. And so the question for us today is not so much what is your thirst, but rather where is your Savior? And he says, "Here I am for you again, present in these very words, forgiving you in that very absolution, calling you back into the water again, so that you can be filled with the Spirit and have your thirst quenched by the one who at the sixth hour hung upon the cross and said, 'I thirst.' In Jesus' name, amen." Peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us.
God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Protect and preserve pastors in their office. Seek out and restore those who have wandered. And bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Julian, Mike, and Luann with their surgeries, Amara recovering from infection, Mary Lou, Ted, and Judy in their rehabilitations, Lori, Joyce, Cindy, Annette, Nancy, Rick, Stan, John, Hattie and her family, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to our land. Protect and grant integrity to our military personnel. Bless our homes. Provide us with good and godly friendships. Grant godly employment to those without work. Keep in your care all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Emma and Jordan. And receive our great thanks for the birth of Eden Zhang Mi to Catherine and Tech. And keep both mother and child in your care. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. O Heavenly Father, strengthen us through the holy communion of your Son's body and blood, that by it we might receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Grant peace and comfort to the family and friends of Kevin, To Pastor Eric and Amy, mourning for his father, Eric, and to the family and friends of Lou, especially his wife, Kathy, and his two adult children. We pray that you would grant that same peace and comfort to all who mourn. And finally, we pray, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is good and right and we do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. The psalm for today is Psalm 84, a psalm of comfort. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Every sparrow finds home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in those hearts are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring, a place of springs. And early rain also covers it with ponds. They go to strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. The Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed, for the day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he without withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed are those who dwell in the house, ever singing your praise.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift.
Amen.
And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit.